One of the events planned around the opening of the African American Museum this weekend is a performance organized by the Hirshhorn Museum in honor of its newest neighbor on the mall. The musical performance features the experimental ensemble The Black Monks of Mississippi, along with three student athletes from Howard University. They will weave through the Hirshhorn's galleries and respond to the artwork on view. The performance series was created by artist and social change activist Theaster Gates. He joins us in studio. He is an artist, urbanist, and social change advocate, founder of the nonprofit Rebuild Foundation, and a professor in the Department of Visual Art and Director of Arts and Public Life at the University of Chicago. Theaster Gates, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before I forget, the first Processions performance debuts tomorrow evening at 5:30 p.m. featuring Theaster along with the Black Monks of Mississippi and track students from Howard University. Following tomorrow's performance, Theaster Gates will be in conversation with the African American History and Culture Museum's architect, David Ajay, at 6:30 p.m. at the Hirshhorn Museum on the National Mall at 7th Street. Tickets are free, but you must reserve ahead. More information is at the Hirshhorn Museum's website, hirshhorn.si.edu. If you cannot make it in person, you should know the events will also be live streamed. Theaster, tell us about the performance series Processions and what tomorrow's event will entail.
Sure. So Processions was my desire as a new trustee of the Hirshhorn to kind of put conversations around local performance, music, the body, with the national and international conversations around the black body and black performances. And so we wanted to have a slightly radical series that would be four events over the next year, celebrating both the performance work of local musicians and performers and national and international performers.
Well, to me, the amateur, it seems quite complicated. Mm-hmm. To you, the professional, though, it still seems complicated.
Yes. It feels really simple that in some ways, like let's say one of my favorite musicians is a gentleman named Benjamin Clementine. He's spent a lot of time in London and probably now works in New York. But he has a background from the West Indies. And that's not unlike, say, a black West Indian who lives in D.C.,
and yes, so it's, truly.
That's right. And so, you know, some of this is about how do we use the Hirshhorn as a platform where we could make connections between people who don't normally talk to each other, even though they may have a lot in common.
It involves the Black Monks of Mississippi, student athletes from Howard University, and much, much more. Also joining me in studio is Mark Harrison. He is head coach for men's and women's cross country and track and field at Howard University. Mark, thank you for joining us.
No, thanks for having me.
Three student athletes from Howard University are also a part of this performance. You're the head track coach at the university. Tell us a little bit about the three runners who will be taking part.
Well, it wasn't that difficult of a choice. This is my fourth year at Howard University, and these are the three stars that I've had. I brought them in. They were my first recruiting class, and they've come in and shined on the classroom, in the classroom, on the track, in the community. It wasn't a hard pick. The three student athletes are one young lady. She's a senior supply chain management from Atlanta, Georgia. Her name is Hannah Billups. Several job offers. She interned with Goldman Sachs this summer. Already has a job offer and several other offers. A silver medalist in heptathlon in her sophomore year. Been a captain for the team since she was a sophomore. Definitely a role model on campus and in the community. The two gentlemen are two of my captains, Basil Nichols from New Britain, Connecticut. He's a public relations major, student athlete, the epitome of a student athlete, 3.85 GPA, highest GPA amongst all males on campus, male student athletes, that is. And then we also have Kahi Edward Kay from Tracy, California, an economics major. And all of these gentlemen have exceeded, you know, beyond expectations of them coming in.
Wow.
And they're just doing extremely well. And it wasn't even a question.
The job offer I had at university was dog catcher, and I didn't get hired for that. But Theaster, why were you interested in having athletes in this performance, and why did you reach out to Howard University?
Sure. Well, the performance that I'll participate in with the Black Monks of Mississippi is called The Runners. And it was really an opportunity to kind of be poetic around this idea of the national race, the question of race, with the opening of the National Museum, just this idea that we feel like we're either in constant competition with ourselves or in some way constant competition with the market or with others. And so I thought the runners would provide an amazing kind of visual backdrop to exploring the work that's happening at the Hirshhorn and also taking the idea of the race and kind of making metaphor with it.
Mark, what do you know about the athlete's role in this performance?
Well, when I first got the invitation this summer, they said they wanted to have three student athletes. We knew that we had to have bodies that exemplified runners. When they told me that the name was going to be, name of the exhibit was going to be the runners, we knew that we had to have folks that literally run. As you know, track and field is not necessarily just everybody that sprints. There are distance runners, there are throwers, there are jumpers. There are multi-athletes. So to find the athletes that could survive for 45 minutes of a performance and exemplary in their drills and in their attitude and, again, with their resume, knowing what the exhibit was about, knowing that their resumes would reflect exactly what the Astor's talking about.
How do they themselves, the athletes, feel about their role in this opening week of the museum?
They're ecstatic. I told Basil when I first got the call, I was so excited. I called Basil, who's this year's captain. I called Basil Nichols and told him, and he was actually on his way to the movies with friends. So he didn't think he heard me correctly. So he told everybody, turn the music down, quiet. Coach Harrison's calling me, telling me I'm going to be something important in a couple months. So, and then the other two I actually announced in a team meeting. As I announced to the team, I said, we've been selected. Three student athletes have been selected to perform with the Astor, and no one knew who it was. They were all looking around like, whoa, I wish I had been chosen. And when I actually told them, they were really ecstatic, and the parents were calling me and emailing me. And it's just a great buzz on campus. Campus is just buzzing.
Everybody is excited. Mark Harrison is head coach for men's and women's cross country and track and field at Howard University. He joins us in studio along with Theaster Gates, artist, urbanist, and social change advocate, founder of the nonprofit Rebuild Foundation. He's also a professor in the Department of Visual Art and director of arts and public life at the University of Chicago. If you have questions or comments, give us a call, 800-433-8888. What do you think of the newest addition to the National Mall? Do you plan to attend any of the opening events for the National Museum of African American History and Culture this week and weekend? 800-433-8850. You can also send email to kojo@wamu.org. You can shoot us a tweet at Kojo Show, or you can go to our website, kojoshow.org. Join the conversation there. It's my understanding that the tickets are all sold out for tomorrow night's performance, but people can go to the website and see the live stream. Theaster, the other aspect of this performance is the music.
Yes.
You perform with the Black Monks of Mississippi. You've worked with this experimental group as part of your performances in the past. Tell us a little bit about them.
Sure. The Black Monks, we're all musicians of varying kind who, when we would ask the question, what's the state of contemporary Black music, often we were disappointed with it. And so what we decided to do was kind of go back to a Black American root, which was like the slave spiritual, the hymn, kind of church music, and see if there was a way that by meditating on those root musics, if we could then evolve a new trajectory for the future of Black music.
And in that trajectory for the future of Black music, it's my understanding that the Black Monks of Mississippi are often joined by musical monks from around the world.
We do like to identify people who professionally qualify as monks or live monastic lives as a way of like really learning what is this, you know, if in some ways the lifestyle of a monk is really conducive to a kind of austerity and humility, and I'm not very humble, and so I think that I'm always just trying to be a little bit of a better person. But I think that in a way, the monks, you know, when we do this work, it's us attempting to perform austerity, humility, discipline, until it either works or it absolutely doesn't work. And I think that you'll see some of that at the Hirshhorn tomorrow.
They're described as an order of performers who harmonize the Eastern ideas of melodic restraint with the spirit of gospel in the Black church and the soul of the blues genre, deeply rooted in the American musical tradition. So let's hear a little of the music. This is a performance called Shine. Shine. Mesmerizing. The Astor, I hear him there for everything from Sweet Honey and the Rot to Parliament to blues to jazz. Could you describe exactly what we're listening to?
Sure. So I think there's a tremendous amount of excitement in the music of Black people. And so what we've been trying to do is just take these varying genre of jazz and blues and gospel, soul, rock, funk, and see if there's something that is like worth, instead of making a song, can we embed ourselves in the possibility of Black culture and see what emerges? And so the performative work and the musical work is about just exploring those sounds that have made, that have helped us finish the race.
800-433-8850. Have you tried to get tickets to see the National Museum of African American History and Culture? What was the result? Tell us what you think of the newest addition to the National Mall. 800-433-8850. You can send email to kojo@wamu.org. Theesta, how did you come to collaborate with the Black Monks originally, and why did you want to include them in this performance?
Sure. So initially, my friends who perform in bars and taverns and in small jazz dives, they weren't happy with the platforms that were that existed around the country. That, you know, at the time you had to deal with smoking and people, you were just side entertainment to whatever was happening in the bar, to people loud. At the same time, my artistic career was growing, and I had access to this platform called a museum, where if we were to sing something, people would actually sit down and listen to us. And so I asked the monks if they would participate with me in an experiment where we try to create a new music based on the history of old Black musics. They said yes. And then our first major project was in Eindhoven in the Netherlands. And then we did a project in 2010 at the Whitney Museum. And it was really at that point that I decided, maybe there's something here that I want to explore for a long time. So the monks is really kind of my commitment to performance, but it's also the way that I tell stories that I can't say through my visual art practice.
The performance tomorrow, Processions, was planned to coincide with the opening of the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture this weekend. It's my understanding you haven't yet had a chance to see inside the museum, but you've been following its progress closely. What are your thoughts? And I'd like to hear Mark on this, too, on the daunting challenge of representing African-American history and culture in a single museum like this.
So, first, you know, David Ajay is a really good friend of mine, so I was very excited about this idea that we had a museum that was going to be on the Mall dedicated to the history of the experiences of Black people. It is a daunting task to try to encapsulate, but I think that the building itself starts to serve as a symbol for the importance of Black people in the nation. That feels very important to me. But then the other part feels like what happens when we both try to create a dominant narrative about the history of Black people and understand that there are so many nuanced voices that become kind of complements or contradictions to that grand narrative. And finally, there's a home where that complement and contradiction can play itself out over a long period of time. And for that, I feel very honored that the leadership of this country would understand the importance of this last museum being planted on the Mall.
What are your thoughts on this museum, Mark?
Well, the great thing about being at Howard, that every day you are presented with, you have to be a Howard man, you have to be a Howard woman, and it comes with the mystique of the history of the university. The great thing about the museum is, I'm going to take it a little personal, as a track coach, my track teams and my cross-country teams, they actually take their morning runs down to the Mall, and they run and they see these things. And actually in recruiting, which all coaches that may be listening understand that that's how we eat nowadays, recruiting, when we would bring in recruits, that would be one place that we would take them. We, and in my 4 years at Howard, we take them and we've seen the hole in the ground that was to be the African American Museum. Then 2 years later, you see the foundation, and now it's come to fruition that, you know, now ironically, these seniors that we told in the recruiting process back in 2012 and 2013, that now that they are actually going to be a part of the opening events, and then they get to see the museum. So it's been a great journey, and just being a proud former school teacher, that is it's a very proud feeling to know that there is.
Well, I want our listening audience to get this straight. As you're recruiting athletes to come to Howard University, as the university is recruiting students, it was telling them, you'll be right up the street from this museum that's coming to town. That hole that you may see when you're coming into town, in a few years, that'll be a museum. That was an effective recruitment tool.
It's been going very well.
And it's now being realized. Fiesta, yes. After the performance, you'll be in conversation with your friend David Ajay, the architect behind the museum. What most strikes you about the design of this building?
You know, the building has a kind of lightness and boldness as a result of this this motif that he's chosen. It feels like where a lot of the buildings on the mall have a kind of fortress-like, impenetrable feeling, that there's something super open and crisp through those framed facade units, and it has a kind of indigeneity, a kind of a blackness in its motif, like not afraid to be angular and rhythmical and symmetrical, that I think that it becomes this wonderful kind of period or counter narrative to the other buildings on the mall. But more excitingly, you know, a lot of the work that David has done over the years has been collaborations with other artists. So I think that David just listens differently. So he's also been involved with some of the kind of thinking through what might these exhibitions feel like in the future. And so I just feel like there's a lot of good design leadership, and I'm happy to say that he's a friend, and I can't wait to be inside that building.
This museum has gotten a lot of media attention, huge amount of interest from the public. It's extended its hours throughout the next several weeks. In spite of all of that, the timed entry tickets are gone through October. Mark, what do you think of this interest generated by the museum? And I guess just as important for you, will you be able to get a sneak peek since you've got three of your student athletes participating in the opening activities?
No, I hope a lot of people are listening. We're working on it. We'll say it like that. We're hoping that we can get to take a peek inside.
It's Mark Harrison, Lonnie Bunch.
That's right. Yes, Mr. Bunch, we would enjoy to bring a few of our astounding Howard athletes and the staff to come and take a peek at the museum. But it would be a blessing. We're just very happy to be part of Fiesta's performance, and whatever comes from it, we'll run with it.
I think Alicia and Laurel Maryland has a question for you. Alicia, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I was just wondering how Howard students got involved with the performance piece and why they were chosen.
Thank you so much. So part of what I wanted to do was, in my presence at the Hirshhorn, could there be a way that some kind of unexpected performance could happen that grafts in people who would not normally have an affiliation directly with the museum? And I think that, you know, in some ways, you know, I have an affinity toward track. I ran track in high school. That there's a way in which this project would allow us to start to create new relationships between Hirshhorn and the community, which was an important part of my being a trustee at the museum. But also, I think that the track runners will give a kind of performative quality to the work that the Black Monks do that without them wouldn't be the same. And so I feel like this was just kind of an amazing opportunity waiting to happen. It just requires somebody to kind of think a little bit differently about who the collaborators are in a work of art.
Your artistic career began in pottery, but your work now includes a range of endeavors. You've been described as an artist, but also as an urbanist and a social change advocate. Part of that involves work you've done to transform neighborhoods, one vacant building at a time. So tell us a little bit before you go about the Rebuild Foundation and what you've been doing in Chicago.
Yeah. So the neighborhood that I live in 10 years ago wasn't the best place to be. It was a little rough and not very beautiful. I was trying to figure out what kinds of contributions could I make, and then largely what kind of contributions can artists make in communities. And I decided that I would kind of just take on these buildings one at a time. And over time, I developed a knack for the restoration of old buildings, and then started to develop a knowledge of how building and development works. And so a big part of the work that I do with Rebuild Foundation is thinking about how Black people in poor communities could have access to beauty, and then what are the policies and advocacy mechanisms necessary so that as neighborhoods become important again and start to change, how the people who have been undervalued and underappreciated in the resources that move in a neighborhood could benefit from the upside of change and not be displaced.
Got to give some advice before you go, because anybody trying to transform vacant buildings in Southside Chicago is going to run up against zoning codes mm-hmm. and financing issues. For people who are trying to do things similar in this area, what's your advice to them?
That the way that a city is built actually has rules, and that one of the things that I found most interesting is that the people who have vision are often separate from the people who know the rules. And so how can we start to create coalitions and alliances between great visionaries who live in struggling communities? Who do they need to call so that they can get advice on how a building code gets changed or how a zoning ordinance gets redefined so that great things could happen? And then what kinds of coalitions do we need to build within our communities so that we have the political and capital power in order to create change without always needing to ask people?
The First Processions performance debuts tomorrow evening at 5:30 p.m. featuring Theasta Gates along with the Black Monks of Mississippi and track students from Howard University. Tickets are all gone for it, but if you go to the Hirshhorn Museum's website, hirshhorn.si.edu, you can find out how you can watch the live stream of the event. Mark, will you be there for the performance tomorrow evening?
Absolutely.
You'll be on hand. Try not to jump on stage and, you know, get involved in the performance.
You don't have to worry about me running anymore.
he's the coach, head coach for men's and women's cross country and track and field at Howard University. Theasta Gates is an artist, urbanist, and social change advocate, founder of the Rebuild Foundation, and professor in the Department of Visual Art and Director of Arts and Public Life at the University of Chicago. Thank you both for joining us. When we come back, we'll be talking with D.C.'s new interim police chief, Peter Newsom, about safety and security in the district. I'm Kojo Nandi.
Yes. I'm your